Good morning. It's Monday, the 8th of June, and the week is opening the way the last one closed, with the institutions of American power leaning in toward the frontier labs. Only this morning the conversation took a sharper turn. For months, the question has been, who gets to regulate these companies? Today, it quietly became, who gets to own them? So pour something warm and settle in. Fete, I've got four threads to pull on, and they tie together more tightly than usual. First up, the biggest one. President Trump has started talking openly about the federal government taking an ownership stake in America's leading AI companies, and according to reporting from CMRBC, those talks have already been happening directly with OpenAI. Asked about the idea aboard Air Force One, the president said he's been discussing concepts where, in his words, pieces could be given to the American public, where the public essentially becomes a partner with the companies. The mechanism floating around is striking. Some of that government equity could seed what OpenAI itself has proposed as a public wealth fund, a vehicle whose proceeds would be distributed directly to citizens, so that more people share in the upside of this technology, regardless of where they started. And this isn't purely a White House invention. Bloomberg reports that Sam Altman has been floating the idea of a government stake in the major labs since early 2025. It also fits a pattern. This administration took a 10% stake in the chipmaker Intel last year. What makes the moment genuinely unusual is that the idea has support on both ends of the spectrum. On the left, Senator Bernie Sanders this week proposed a one-time 50% tax that companies like OpenAI, Anthropic, and xAI would pay not in cash, but in stock, handing the public a direct ownership share. David Sachs, who just stepped down as the administration's AI and crypto czar, said he understands why the Sanders pitch resonates, including with many on the right, but warned that it would accelerate the corporate government fusion the country is already sliding toward. Sit with that phrase for a second. For an industry whose whole self-conception rests on independence from the state, a government that owns a piece of a frontier lab has its incentives braided together with that lab's profits, its safety choices, and its standing against rivals at home and abroad. Whether this ends up as a sovereign wealth fund, a quiet backstop, or just campaign season talk, the relationship between Washington and the labs is being renegotiated in real time, and for the first time, ownership is on the table. Moving to the second story, which is the same theme seen from a different angle, the people. Sriram Krishnan, the senior White House advisor who has effectively run artificial intelligence policy for the administration, is leaving his post at the end of June. Krishnan came to government the way many in this administration did, straight from the industry. He led product teams at Microsoft, Twitter, Yahoo, Facebook, and Snap, and most recently, he was a partner at Andreessen Horowitz, the venture firm whose founders threw their weight behind the president in the 2024 election. On his way out, he pointed to what he counts as the wins. Chief among them, the administration's AI action plan, which deliberately prioritized building data centers over writing regulation and a series of executive orders, including one aimed at overriding state-level AI rules and another on oversight that got delayed and watered down after the industry pushed back. He singled out David Sachs, the same Sachs from our first story, as the person he worked most closely with over the past 18 months. But here's the part that matters most. Krishnan isn't really stepping away. He told his followers he's going to build institutions that take on big challenges for America and its allies. And the Washington Post reports he's starting an outside organization that will keep him in a position to shape the administration's AI policy from just beyond the building, on exactly the issues he named, energy, data centers, and what he called a clear path for Americans to feel the benefits of this technology. If that agenda sounds familiar, it should. It's the same one the president is advancing, right down to that endorsement of government equity stakes. So read this less as a departure and more as a relocation. A key industry-friendly voice moving from inside the policy apparatus to a perch right alongside it. The chair at the center of federal AI strategy is suddenly empty, and the person who sat in it is setting up shop next door. Third up, let's talk about money. specifically, the moment the bill comes due. Over the weekend, the team at TechCrunch's Equity Podcast gave it a name I can't stop thinking about, the tokenpocalypse. The trigger was a small but telling decision, Microsoft moving GitHub Copilot away from a flat monthly rate and toward charging per token. And that small move points at a very large problem. This whole ecosystem has been heavily subsidized by investor money, which means the products that feel free to use are, underneath, extraordinarily expensive to run. Now more of that true cost is about to land on the customer. The example everyone reached for was Uber. One of the hosts pointed out that Uber ran the full arc in about 6 weeks, first realizing it had blown clean through its AI budget far faster than planned, then deciding the spending was unsustainable and slapping caps and usage limits on its own employees. If a heavy, sophisticated user hits that wall in a month and a half, the labs face a hard question. Can they drive inference costs down and improve the technology fast enough to meet customers somewhere in the middle on price? There was a lovely, almost rueful aside that the original $20 a month price for ChatGPT was essentially made up, a number picked before anyone understood the unit economics, and that even the pricier tiers still don't close the gap to what the compute actually costs. The deeper point was about speed. The whole idea of token maxing, spending freely on tokens to squeeze out the best results, became fashionable, peaked, and fell out of favor inside of 6 months, all before durable business models had even hardened around these companies. And now that instability is about to collide with public market disclosure as Anthropic and others write their initial public offering paperwork and have to somehow describe token costs as a risk factor that's changing day by day. Layered on top of all of it, the president signed a narrow executive order this week, giving the government a chance to review the most powerful models. Pricing, usage limits, product redesign. They are all about to reshape how this technology actually reaches us. And for our fourth and final story today, a quieter release that says a lot about where we are. OpenAI shipped something called Lockdown Mode, a hardened setting for ChatGPT built specifically to fight prompt injection attacks, the ones that try to trick a model into leaking sensitive data. What's revealing is what Lockdown Mode switches off. It disables live web browsing, so the assistant can only reach content it has already cached. It blocks the retrieval and display of images from the web, though you can still generate images, and it turns off deep research and agent mode entirely. In other words, the defense works by stripping away the very capabilities, autonomous browsing, agentic tool use, that create the opening for an attack in the first place. OpenAI is refreshingly honest about the limits. The company says that even with lockdown mode turned on, ChatGPT can still be vulnerable. A malicious instruction could be sitting in cached web content or in a file you upload and still bend the model's behavior. The goal, they say, isn't to eliminate the risk. It's to reduce the chance that your sensitive data walks out the door. And it's not meant for everyone. It's aimed at people and organizations that handle confidential information and want stricter protection. It's rolling out now to business accounts and to eligible personal ones. Here's why I think this one is worth your attention. Prompt injection is still the central unsolved security problem of the agentic era, the thing nobody has a clean answer for. And the most capable lab in the world, when advising its most security-conscious customers, is essentially saying, "Turn the agent off." That's a remarkably candid admission about the state of our defenses. The features that make these systems useful, the browsing, the tool use, the autonomy, are exactly the features that make them exploitable. And right now, the safest configuration is also the least capable one. For anyone deploying tool-using agents on confidential data, that tension is the whole ballgame. So that's the shape of the morning. Step back, and the four threads braid into one. The institutions of American power are reaching into the frontier labs from every direction at once, through ownership, with talk of government equity and public wealth funds, through people as the policy chair empties and quietly reassembles next door, and through money as the true cost of all this compute finally starts pressing on the companies and on us, and underneath all of it, The labs are bracing for an agentic world they haven't yet learned how to secure. Not one of these is a model release, and yet together they tell you more about where this is heading than most model releases would. Why, there's plenty more in the full digest if you want the papers and the rest of the day's reading. Until then, keep your curiosity sharp and your skepticism warm, and I'll see you tomorrow.